It's wonderful to gather with you all this Christmas Eve. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. It's a wonderful time of the year. According to one song, the most wonderful time of the year. One of the things I know that I enjoyed and remember fondly from my childhood is we would go out and drive around the neighborhoods and see everybody's Christmas lights shining out. We would started doing this with our girls just in our own neighborhood. We'll go for a walk on Christmas Eve or Christmas night after we do our festivities and look around at all of the bright lights. It's a wonderful memory I have and one that I'm building with my children as well. It's a time of celebration. It's a time when we often, for whatever reason, we just kind of feel many of us, our spirits rise. Recall even as a former time in life, I was working retail during the holidays, of all things, in the seasonal department at Hobby Lobby. But even there, amongst the people, and as busy as that time of year was, there was still a kind of sense of anticipation, of happiness, and of joy that came about in the midst of all of the busyness and overtime work and all that was going on. And yet we know for many people, this time of great light and celebration is also a time of darkness. For some, it's a time of loneliness. For some, it's a time as we remember those who have passed on, who are no longer with us to celebrate the holidays. For some of us, there is even an inner darkness that perhaps no one else knows about that eats away at us inside. And then very often when this season of light is over, when January comes, especially if you live further north, you just go back to the darkness and you have a long winter ahead. You wait for, we might say, the next hit of nostalgia. When is the next holiday? When is the next thing that will distract me from the darkness that is so often a part of our lives? Where does this darkness come from? The source of darkness in this world is sin. Scripture teaches us that God himself is light. God is light, and he made man in his image and likeness, and he made him to reflect this light. We might say he's like a mirror who's supposed to shine and reflect the glory of the one who made him. But as we read earlier, man chose to disobey God. He followed the temptation of the grim prince of darkness, and as we read, so came the curse upon our world. We all, therefore, live in darkness in some way. We can talk about darkness as suffering. People suffer physically in sickness. There are many people this moment suffering in the bitter cold and the bitter agonies of war across the world. This is all due to the curse of God upon his creation. And we know it is a curse that was just. Adam knew beforehand what the consequences were. God had told him, "In the day in which you eat the fruit of the tree, you will surely die." There's much suffering in this world. And yet when we talk about walking in darkness, we can also say that we, in a sense, all participate in moral darkness. I think we would admit none of us are perfect. None of us reflect the pure light of God as we should. With Adam, our first father, the mirror of humankind was broken into pieces, shattered and splintered, and in some ways we still catch glimpses of the light. But when we try to see the image of God, it is broken, distorted, no longer reflecting his perfect holiness and goodness. Alexander Solzhenitsyn put it so well when he said, "The dividing line between good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart?" All of us, by our own actions, by the words we speak to others, by our thoughts and our desires within our own hearts, We participate in the darkness. We know this is true. It's why we feel ashamed. And don't we all feel that from time to time? Knowing that I should have done better there. I didn't do what I should. We're replaying what Adam felt in the garden, aren't we? As we read before, when God came, Adam hid himself because he was ashamed. And so we live, as it has been put, in a situation of sin and of misery, where we sin against others, where others sin against us, where we hurt and we suffer. We do wrong, we suffer wrong, and we walk in darkness. How can we escape the darkness of this world? We can't defeat it. We don't have the power to defeat it because we're part of it. We participate in that darkness every time we disobey the commands of God. But the answer to this question, how will the darkness be overcome? The answer is that God must defeat the darkness for us. And that is exactly what he has done in Jesus Christ. Immediately after the darkness of the curse of sin came into the brightness of the good world that God created, he gave this promise. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, speaking there to the serpent, the devil, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. There was the promise. There was the glimmer of light in the midst of the darkness. The offspring of the woman would come to defeat the serpent who tempted Adam and Eve and who through their sin brought darkness into the world. And if we would have kept reading a little bit more there in Genesis, we knew that Adam trusted in the promise of God. Because just as the curse came, just as God told him, I made you from the dust of the ground and you will return to dust one day when you die. Adam trusted in the promise of God because he called his wife Eve, which means she will be the mother of all the living. Because it was from her that would come one who would defeat the darkness. If we read our Old Testaments, it's a long chunk of the Bible, they are full of God giving his promise again and again to his people. For his people hoping and waiting for that time when the promise would be fulfilled, when the seed of the woman would come. And especially as he gathered to himself one nation, Israel, to be his own particular people, he sent them prophets. And the prophets promised that God's seed would come, the seed of the woman would come. And we read some of those prophecies in Isaiah. We could have read dozens and dozens more. But Isaiah said, those who walk in darkness have seen a great light. In these prophecies, we see what the Messiah would be like, and we see what the future will hold for those who trust in him. We read before that he will be a child. A child will be born to you. That was the promise. And yet he will be everlasting God. A child born who is everlasting God. And indeed, he has come. God came to the earth. He was born and he was praised by angels as the one who would bring the promised peace to this world that is filled with war and suffering and darkness. And John confirms with us just what Isaiah had promised. He said, he is God who has taken on human flesh. The mighty God was born a child. John begins with a reference in his gospel to Genesis 1 and the creation of all things. In the beginning, the first words of John's gospel, the first words of Genesis 1, in the beginning God created. And he speaks of the Word who was with God in the beginning, the Word who was God. And then as we read, he says, he took on flesh and he dwelt among us. He took on flesh and he dwelt among us. He came into our world, which indeed John has said is his world. It's the world he made. What a mystery that is. that the eternal God could take on flesh, that the all-powerful would take on the nature of a helpless child, just born, crying in the darkness. As we think about that mystery, let us not forget why he did this. The light himself took on flesh so that he could walk in the darkness with us, where we walk, where we suffer, so that he could live under the same curse we live under, though he doesn't deserve it. We all, don't we, ratify the sin of Adam as we go about sinning in our daily lives? We are often sinned against unjustly, but in one sense, we can't really ask why do bad things happen to good people. Because when we look at the standards of God's justice, we know that there are no truly good people. And yet Christ was truly good. Christ was the perfect image of God, which perfectly reflected his goodness, his holiness, his light. And yet, deserving none of it, he lived in our world of disease, of loss, of sadness, of loneliness. He came to live under the curse. And he did that so that he himself could extinguish the darkness. See, Jesus was born so that he could die. The manger of Bethlehem was a necessary step along the way to the cross of Calvary. And Jesus went there so that the darkness of the curse on sin and all the suffering in this life and even death itself at life's end and the eternal death that follows as the punishment of sin, Jesus went to the cross so that in himself he might take all of that and swallow it up and extinguish it. The light came into the world to take on the darkness, and the light died. But as John told us, the light has come into the world, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And we know it's skipping ahead in the calendar of the year, but we know that 3 days after he died, Christ was raised from darkness. And he came bursting forth in bright glory. Death itself could not hold back the light of life who had come into the world. And 3 days later, he rose, and the promise of God made thousands and thousands of years before had come true. And from Christ himself, the curse was lifted, and his body was glorified, and he was raised imperishable, never to die again, never to get a cold or sickness or anything, but to live in glory forevermore. And where does that leave us? It leaves us, on the one hand, still in a world of darkness as we live here. But it leaves us with the hope that the light that darkness could not overcome can be ours if we will trust in him. If we were put ourselves in his loving hands. We cannot trust in ourselves. We can't trust, as some think, in our own ability to do better and shine brighter and somehow we'll overcome the darkness. We can't trust in holidays to lift our moods and chase away the darkness we feel when we suffer. We can't trust in any way in fixing this world ourselves. We do not have the power. But indeed, if we trust in the light of the world, in the eternal God who became man to swallow up the darkness and overcome it, then we have a true and living hope within us that we will one day shine like him when he comes again, when he raises us just as he has been raised. He came once in weakness to suffer in our place. He will come again, the Bible says, in bright glory to judge the darkness and to judge all who do the deeds of darkness, all except those who have trusted in his death on their behalf. Those who have trusted in him who've given themselves fully to him who gave himself fully for us, those will receive the life which he now lives for them. The resurrection by which he was raised on their behalf. This hope is a light that will carry us through the darkest of times that this world might bring. This light cannot be put out. This hope will endure. Trust in the light.